So Terry Boucher is the director of Boucher Consulting Limited, a specialist tax consulting consultancy, alongside Deborah Russell. A few years ago, he wrote a book called Tax and Fairness. So late last year, he also published an article on cryptocurrencies and the need for tax reform in relation to them, especially in New Zealand. Although the value of popular cryptocurrency Bitcoin has fallen rapidly in recent days, there are plenty of other highly valuable ones, Litecoin and Dogecoin, for example, which I learned about this morning. Before asking how we could tax cryptocurrencies, I started by getting Terry to explain the basics of cryptocurrencies.
Cryptocurrencies, or crypto assets, sometimes referred to, are another asset class. For me, what piqued my interest in it, what it came to, is I started to field some questions as to, well, how is all this taxed? If they don't exist and people are buying and selling them, they are what we call intangible assets. And there are approximately 1,000 cryptocurrencies all around the world that we know of, and more being added every day. We are in the midst of a huge spike about them, and they could not be devalued by government action. That, as I understand it, was one of the driving forces behind cryptocurrency. But then comes along, what you then add to that is something called blockchain technology. But again, it built on this idea of a proof of ownership could be built into this technology.
What's the difference between trading and speculating? What is the difference between the money that people make off those two things?
If you're trading in assets, so you're buying and selling in those crypto assets, that as a trading activity is taxable. Now, what are you doing that for? You're probably just generating, just making money. So in fact, the difference between trading and speculating is more for tax purposes, for identifying clearly who is engaged in a taxable activity and who might not be. Because at the heart of the New Zealand tax system, there is a bit of a gap. A big gap around the taxation of capital gains.
Yeah.
And this is where the distinction between trading and speculating becomes very important. In essence, if you're trading, and that's fairly easy to identify, if you're buying and selling a lot of cryptocurrencies, you're trading. So if you're carrying on activities every day in it, you're trading. But what about if you, say, think, this isn't interesting, I'll just have a few of these and see what happens. Are you an investor or are you a speculator? Again, it depends on your intention at the time of purchase and then your activities. What other, with that, if you happen to be moving in and out of the currencies fairly frequently, then you may not be carrying out hundreds of trades a day, but you may be carrying out several trades a week, in which case the revenue would say, inland revenue would say, no, that's, you really are not an investor. You're engaged in a activity, you're buying and selling, you have an intention to realize a gain from this, therefore it's taxable.
Yeah, and this really shows how in your article you were saying it is all very subjective and based on judgment calls, and you said how Inland Revenue has already noted that if cryptocurrencies are received in exchange for goods and services, then they can be taxed. So obviously GST can apply, but would income tax, for example, or as you already mentioned, capital gains, could they apply?
Well, I'll deal with the GST side of the matters in there. Now, Inland Revenue back in 2014 made it clear that if you carried out a service, say for example, taxation service, and I'm going to pay you in Bitcoin, that income, the value of the services I provided, would be taxable to me. GST would apply. The fact that I was paid in Bitcoin is neither here nor there. Now, for tax purposes, what has actually happened is I have not actually received money, because crypto is not money. It's an asset.
Right.
I've essentially conducted a barter transaction. Mm-hmm. This person said to me, Terry, you give me your services and I'll give you some Bitcoin. And I said, fine. What happens then is, if I've received Bitcoin, what do I do with that? I sell it. Do I then have to pay GST again on the sale because I have sold an asset through my business? And this is the GST, the answer to that is possibly. So if you look at it then, if I have to pay GST when I receive Bitcoin and then I have to pay GST when I sell the Bitcoin to turn it into cash, you'll see the big problem, one of the problems with Bitcoin or any cryptocurrency for that matter, by the way, we talk about Bitcoin because it is the most
common one, yeah,
the most liquid, to use the investment term, it's most freely available. you see that there's a real risk for people in the GST side that you could pay GST twice on essentially one transaction.
Right.
So this is one of the headaches that Inland Revenue are busy working through at the moment. It's actually, there is a sort of workaround on that, but I'm not going to give away too much. and this is an area where things are changing all on the field. So the GST is one side. Then for income tax purposes, have I acquired that Bitcoin with a purpose or intent of sale? Well, you could look at it both ways. You could say, well, you must have done, because how are you ever going to get any cash out of it? Or maybe I just simply said, well, I'm interested in holding this because, coming back to what I was talking earlier about the origins of Bitcoin and cryptocurrencies, it could be a hedge against inflation. That's, by the way, bullion, for example, gold bullion doesn't deliver, is often bought for that purpose. People are concerned, when they're concerned about inflation in the economy, they often go and buy gold because it's a store of value. As it transpires, Inland Revenue recently have said that because gold bullion doesn't actually give you an income in the way like a share or a term deposit gives you a dividend or interest income, they are likely to treat the buying and selling of gold bullion as taxable, even if you're not trading in it. I.e., you can't say that, in other words, the capital gain would be taxable.
Yeah, because it's an asset or property that you own.
It's an asset that you own, but the revenue's view is that you can only, because it doesn't generate any other income, it has no other purpose than being a store of value,
right,
then you must want to sell it at some point to realize your investment and gain and realize your funds. And they're sort of going that way with cryptocurrencies, but, and this is where it gets very interesting, they also recognize that some cryptocurrencies, or crypto assets, as we've talked about, are actually much more valuable in blockchain technology. Ethereum, for example, is much more useful in devising, in the blockchain technology and in what some people are devising smart contracts, than Bitcoin. Bitcoin being the first cab off the rank. Ethereum has been taken further. And various cryptocurrencies have different attributes. Some of them, by the way, are designed to be deliberately set up where they can't be easily traced. Others are fully open, and some are looking at particularly exploiting particular algorithms to see how they could be used for in blockchain technology. And that's where where it gets really difficult or more confusing, depending how you look at it, for tax purposes. Because if you've invested in a currency or crypto asset which is also extremely valuable for developing blockchain technology, have you really bought it with a purpose or intent of sale, or are you looking to exploit it in developing blockchain technology, smart contracts?
Yeah. How common are crypto assets in New Zealand?
We don't know.
Right.
All I can say is anecdotally, there's a lot of interest going on right now.
Okay.
In the matter, we just don't know. But I'm receiving a steady stream of inquiries around what is the tax treatment of the particular asset and invented on.
Yeah.
I'm invested in it, and it's not just simply Bitcoin. I've come across a scenario, for example, where
it's the other currencies as well.
Other currencies, but in one case I came across, well, I actually wrote one. I was part of a syndicate where we devised one. So that's a whole other interesting issue there. So there's a lot going on.
Yeah.
There's some very interesting services, and some people are using it, are involved in using, providing crypto services, looking at the whole blockchain technology, looking at what they at initial coin offerings, which are sort of raising currency, raising funds using crypto. It's a fascinating field going on. Every circumstance is different, which means that a lot of the advice that you can give is to say, it depends. We do know that Inland Revenue is in the process of drafting what we call an interpretation statement or guidelines, which says this is how we think crypto should be treated.
Right. Well, in terms of the new government as well, is their tax working group, does that have much involvement in this?
No, I think it's something the tax working group would need to be mindful of for a couple of things, because they have to look at their, they have to do a bit of future proofing. They're looking ahead at what the New Zealand tax system might look like in another 5-10 years' time. And so 10 years ago, no one had ever heard of Bitcoin, but now it's there. And so you want to have a tax system which could adapt easily to the introduction of something like Bitcoin. And the truth is our current system doesn't, because in the absence of a formal capital gains tax, it's very unclear how cryptocurrencies are taxed for income tax purposes. The GST rules, as I mentioned earlier, are a little clearer, but they have problems for them. So the tax working group has to consider that. But at the moment, the current treatment is an operational matter for Inland Revenue, and we're expecting to see their advice on that, their draft interpretation guidelines, very soon, within the next, perhaps within the next month or so.